Welcome to Keystone Conversations, our podcast on the topics and issues important to the Keystone family. Our hope is to give insight, wisdom, and resources as you press on to know and follow Jesus. I'm Randy Woodbury, executive pastor here at Keystone. Along with me, our lead pastor, Brent Minter.
Hello, good sir.
Hello, hello. We're so excited. It's Iowa in the spring. Yeah. So it's kind of a coin flip. It could be 80, it could be 20.
And we've experienced both of those in the last 10 days.
But it's at the right trajectory.
I think so. I don't believe it until May.
There's a good preacher that might be able to do an illustration about the right trajectory, even if you have 80 days or 20 days.
Yeah, yeah.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But excited by our topic today, Brent, as we talk about when you look at suburban populations, when you look at the people that come to Keystone, there's things that jump out to you all the time. People talk a lot about the relative wealthiness of Ankeny. That's a top thing. The growth of Ankeny is another. But the other thing we hear all the time, and this is both in secular and non-secular context,
this does not matter whether you're a Christian or not. This is a constant conversation in our city.
Busyness.
Yeah.
And busyness, by us just saying the word, I'm sure there's some people in their soul are going, yes, I need some help here. And there's other people going, no, I don't want to talk about it because I'm still trying to fight that obstacle battle in my life. And there are so many expectations, demands, pressures that play into that of the normal life here in Ankeny.
It's a constant reality.
It is. And here's some interesting, just put it in context, because I do think it's helpful to take a step back and saying, okay, we're not just making stuff up here. This is a real felt situation. We hear people say all the time, I'm too busy. We hear people say all the time, I got no time.
Yep.
And here's some stats for that. And primarily when we quote stats throughout our conversation today, you know, these are probably parents with children under 18, which is 8,000% of our people. I mean, to some extent, there's not a lack of a cohort there that has to deal with that. So here's some ideas. 74% feel they are too busy to enjoy life. Three quarters say they're too busy to just enjoy life. Parents would claim, if you say, hey, how much free time do you have in a day?
And this is a
great example here. They would say, I have 1 to 2 hours at most. But then if you drill them down and say, hey, what's your actual perception of me time, time that you get to focus on yourself? They've actually done surveys and studies to show that on average, as little as 32 minutes a day, they feel like they can focus on themselves.
Yeah.
Those are the type of pressures that our people are trying to live under.
Yeah, I think it's really important to say, like, that's just not that busyness, those, like, I don't have time, I don't pressure. That's because there's real responsibilities and real things that are screaming.
Absolutely.
Jobs, mail, bills,
kids,
everything from changing diapers to putting in school applications.
Transportation and logistics, I like to say.
It's true. And this isn't just for married with kids.
Right.
I mean, the reality is I remember being a single guy, and I didn't feel like I had just a lot of time just goofing off. I had more time than I do now, but you didn't feel like that.
But you had more options.
Yeah, so it's like, even though our calendars are maybe different, it never feels like there's not pressure.
Correct. So good. And we're actually going to jump off of a sermon that Brent actually did recently in 1 Corinthians 10 about idolatry. Mm. And the whole underlying illustration behind that was signs. In that case, it was street signs. It was traffic signs as kind of a metaphor.
Yep.
For what we're doing. But we're going to talk about warning signs today.
Yeah.
What are some possible warning signs? Because busyness actually is one of the main ways that we can fall into idolatry.
Come on.
And, you know, as we go through this discussion today, our guiding verse is going to be 1 Corinthians 10:14. And it's going to be, so then, my dear friends, the exact one you stressed in your sermon, flee from idolatry. Flee. Not mosey.
Yep.
Not saunter.
Yeah.
Flee.
Get the heck out of here.
Get out of here. And so the first thing we're going to do is just talk about some warning signs, because it's very interesting. Busyness is such a ubiquitous word, how you define it. So, Brent, I'm going to throw out some ideas and some perspectives that could be possible warning signs. I'd love to get your thoughts on what do you see with that in terms of current day. So let's start with the first warning sign. busyness as a status symbol. A 2025 survey, this was from the Journal of Consumer Research, found that in knowledge-based economies, which the U.S. is one, and Ankeny specific, a lack of leisure time has replaced luxury goods as the primary status symbol. That shocked me.
Yeah, I don't have to. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, that's...
It's luxury.
It is now almost a badge, a... like someone in, let's say, let's go back to the 80s. 80s is almost always used as the consumer generation.
Yep.
That someone would show you their new car, they instead show you the lack of time as how important they are, how in demand they are, how successful they are. Mm-hmm. And as I took a step back, that seems counterintuitive at one point, but it's spot on.
Yeah.
If you listen to any conversations in any, I would say any professional setting, this is the common theme that's talked about.
The busier you are, the more productive, the more successful, the more in demand. Maybe that's a piece of it.
Yeah.
The more in demand. And I honestly, Randy, this warning sign, I feel it.
Yeah.
I actually don't have to look at other people to say. I remember early in my ministry looking at guys that I really respected, and they were out and about doing things.
Right.
Huge schedules, conflicts, and you looked up and go, oh man, I wish I was. I think the issue is, I wish I was in that demand.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wish that I was as a part of as many things. Like, and it's easy for me to think of that at a professional level, but if you're a single person, it's like, I wish I had the social life that other people had. It might not have anything to do with, you know,
right.
But it's a status symbol of like, you have all these friends, you have all these plans, you have family, you have all these plans. And it can actually feel like that you're better when that is true.
I tested myself on this and said, okay, if I went to a friend of mine and said, hey, how was your week? And they said, you know what? I didn't have any meetings. I kind of thought and read a book for about 7 hours. 2 days ago, I took a walk for 3 hours. What I noticed myself doing, not going to lie, is almost silently judging. Must be nice.
Well, isn't that nice?
Well, that's cute. Why don't you get in the real world where, and insert the word, importance, demand, success. I fell right into that trap.
It is. It feels like a badge of I'm busy and I'm important.
Yeah.
And the reason I can call myself out on this is because throughout my life, my calendar has increasingly got more complicated and demands have been higher than they've ever been.
Right.
And I think if 20-year-old Brent knew with some of the things I get to do now, he would have been like, are you kidding me? And now I look and go, oh, busyness is not a status symbol. It is a severe liability that you have to manage.
Mm.
But it seems like it's powerful, depending on which side you are on.
Right.
Right. But it is. It's not a status symbol. It's a liability. It's like going into a football game knowing you have a janky knee. Mm. Like, busyness actually works against you. But I'm just calling myself out. I totally see it. I don't know that I see it as a status symbol anymore. I see it as a liability.
Right.
But I fell into that trap growing up, for sure.
Let me just add to that, given some of my own recent health issues.
Yeah.
It changes your perspective of time as a precious resource to manage, like you said.
Yeah.
Than something that I just want to continuously heap on myself.
Man.
And that's been a hard adjustment.
Yeah. One time I heard a guy say this. He was a business guy. And this is not how I grew up. It stood out to me. He was like, oh man, like it was a business guy who's, he'd done well for himself. And he goes, and we were talking about something. He goes, oh man, I can always go make some more money. Mm. Money's easy to replenish.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make more time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, in your position, it might be easy to just go make a lot more money. I don't know that that's super simple for me. But your principle makes sense,
yeah.
Right? You can't make any more. And so to see status as like, man, I am important, I'm on demand, I'm successful. It's like, that's the most limited resource, and we are believing a lie that that's where we find our significance.
So that's one possible caution. Let's look at another possible caution, because this couldn't be more diametrically different. But another warning sign. Warning sign number two, that busyness becomes a soul crusher. And so this actually was termed by a theologian who used the term violence of busyness. And what they used the term for is how they would describe how prolonged overcommitment actually does violence. It's an interesting word. Does violence to the human soul, eroding the ability to be present for others. Mm. And there's a couple perspectives we could look at. Look at this first one. First, we lose the ability to engage in deep work or wonder.
Yeah.
Makes me immediately think to Psalms.
Yep.
The number of Psalms about the wonder, the majesty, the awe nature of God.
Yeah.
And is my busyness actually preventing me from entering into those type of environments?
Randy, we actually went on a Boundary Waters canoeing trip together this last summer. Some of our elders all went up and had an incredible time.
Yes, it was.
And it is unbelievable. There's no cell phone reception. There's right. nothing but you and a paddle and a fishing pole and brothers like around a fire. It's glorious. I know that's not everyone's gig. That God made me to enjoy that.
Correct.
But what's true is I remember, people are going to laugh at this, but I heard birds that I promise you were chirping all the time in Ankeny that you had just never heard, never wondered, never looked at God's creation, never saw these things because we're so busy. It crushes our soul. We don't ever have time to notice the things of God.
Mm. That's such a good point.
The sun rising, like it literally rises beautifully in Ankeny, just like it does on vacation. You can go watch it over Sailorville Lake. It's beautiful, but we just don't do it.
The lack of noise pollution and hearing sounds, like you said, the lack of light pollution and seeing things you've never seen.
Yep.
Just so, it almost awakens the senses is almost too small. It's almost a shock to the system to not have those things around.
Yeah.
Here's another perspective about the violence toward our souls. We lose the ability to empathize. And so studies have shown a couple things, but first, that busyness literally turns off our ability to be neighborly. And I think through all the verses about what I'm supposed to do for my neighbor, and I'm actually pursuing something that's preventing me from being neighborly, that's a warning sign.
It's this is a convicting warning sign that we can't empathize with others. I mean, empathy, care, loving your neighbor means inconveniencing yourself.
That's right.
Like there's never a moment where you serve someone where it's super convenient. It just isn't true. So, but what happens is we're so busy, we don't even notice. Randy, I'll go a step further. I'll tattle on myself even more. There are moments where I have something, somewhere to be, something to do, or some thought I'm chasing in my brain, even if it's not schedule related.
Right.
And I can see in the eyes of a person, they need someone to stop and see them and pray for them.
Mm.
And I have in my life gone, I don't have time for that right now, and move forward.
Yeah.
Or fast forward to the conversation. I'm not saying that's a practice of my life, but it has certainly been something that's happened in my life.
That just reminded me and this will be up for the parents out there. One of my biggest wins was someone who taught me whenever your kid comes and asks you something, and I'm talking under a certain age. And let's say anyone under 10, most of the questions they ask you to do something is actually not a big ask. They're not asking to go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
They're not asking, can you go buy me a building? They're saying, can you play trucks? Can you go dance with me?
Yeah.
Have a countenance that 99% of the time you say yes.
Yeah.
And drop whatever you're doing. When I first started doing that, it felt weird.
Yep.
It felt like I was being irresponsible. It felt like I was being selfish to a point.
Yeah.
And immediately those went away and realized that 5 minutes, it probably felt like an hour, but it was 5 minutes.
Totally.
Was worth it all.
Yeah. Carrie has set the pace for that in our house. Especially as your kids get older, they come alive when I go to bed. And that's been a hard place for me to empathize.
Yeah.
And it's busyness. It's just exhaustion. And there's a little bit of like, there's a little bit that's fine. I can make that up in other places, but just the reality of just being able to be available. And that's your kids, but your spouse.
Oh, good point.
Your spouse.
Let's not go there. Now we're going to get more convicted.
Of like being not so busy that we can empathize and listen and ask questions about the stories and not just move forward and go, what's for dinner? How are you getting that kid to hear and whatever?
God bless our wives' ability to have meaningful conversations after 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Because if it was dependent on me.
Yeah. It'd be bad. Amen.
Here's another warning sign. So first about soul crushing, or first about in terms of status symbol, then soul crushing. Here's another possible warning sign. Business is a security blanket. We use the noise of a packed schedule to avoid the silence of our own reality. Let's use a couple ways to look at this. One way to look at it is what's called active avoidance. The trend where people overschedule themselves to avoid facing underlying anxieties.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. I'd rather do X than I have to deal with Y.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, this is harder for me to just personally recognize in myself, but I see it for sure. I see the ideas.
Yeah, I would do where I saw this fail most is you can always do more work.
Always.
And if sometimes it's easier, I'll stay an extra half hour. I'll stay an extra hour.
I see it.
I'll be on the call.
Yeah.
I'll read the periodical.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
There are so many ways that if I want to avoid something.
You can be busy. Now that makes sense. I can filter that in. I'm trying to think of how I struggle, but that makes I see that for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I avoid time. I'm distracted by those things all the time. I don't know. I'm avoiding things by doing.
Oh, I've done that for sure. Yeah. And here's another perspective: the fear of irrelevance. Mm. If we aren't busy, we feel expendable. And you know what? I have a lot of empathy for this because in today's society, and the way most corporations and businesses work. Perceived busyness is a different view in a corporate setting than actual value sometimes.
Yes.
And so you have to show. Here's a classic one here. I learned early on, I won't say when, I've never done it at Keystone.
Okay.
Scheduling an email to go out at 6:07 at night to look like you're still working.
Ah.
That's a corporate hack. Because when the boss gets the email at 6:07 p.m., oh, they must be really, really committed.
Got it.
They must
be dialed in.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I've releases some inner secrets. And I get it.
Yeah.
Because that's the game you have to play.
Yeah, it's a security blanket. If I'm busy, then I'm adding value. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
But if I manage my time well from 9 to 5 and I have to walk out at 5:01, you said, well, everyone else is here. The expendable nature, especially with AI and the threat that people are feeling. I totally get that one.
Totally makes sense.
Last one, silence in terms of this is silence is a threat. The intolerance of being quiet. Research shows that when people are left alone with their thoughts, even for 6 to 15 minutes, listen to this, many find it so uncomfortable they would actually prefer a mild electrical shock. That's how uncomfortable people feel. In silence.
Wow. This is a beautiful time for me to say, then you need to spend time with God every morning because you're going to get more in 15 minutes.
There you go.
I mean, like that's...
Well, you can start seeing the connections now of a lot of the things you see and how they're related.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. There's a book that's been really impactful in my thinking. It's by a guy named Cal Newport called Deep Work.
Mm.
And he just rails against busyness and making sure that you do deep, meaningful work and don't just bounce, 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 and bounce. But it's the idea of like some people don't want to go do the hard work because it's just hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think pastors, those of us who write sermons get to train in this because you just have to sit with your thoughts for a long time when you're trying to figure out what you're going to say.
Yeah.
That can be a busyness too, but it's just hard to sit and be quiet. I mean, and so why not schedule something? Why not avoid? Avoid, avoid, avoid.
And you can see how all three of these playing together, you know, in terms of security blankets or soul crushing or status symbol, they all interweave.
Yeah.
And the opportunities are there. But so that's kind of more of a background. It's a good discussion. But Brent, let's switch over to the practical a little bit. Like, okay, I don't think anyone's going to fight us that busyness is an epidemic.
Yeah.
How exactly, what are we supposed to do? What's the, you know, I get this all the time. This is, to me, very similar to people talking to me about their budgets. I can't make my budget work.
Yeah.
Well, I can talk about the math all I want.
Yeah.
It's behavior change.
Yeah.
And it's different ways of thinking.
Yeah.
That then leads to different math. But as you think through practical ways to do this, what are kind of some frameworks that you found helpful in dealing with busyness? Because again, you have a very demanding job. You have a much different situation, both work and family now than you had 20 years ago.
Yeah.
There's not a lack. And that's what I want to encourage people. You can have no kids. You can have 10 kids. You can have a 2-year-old. You can have a 20-year-old. There's not going to be.
I think the actual, the budget think conversation really is a great place to start, Randy, because you can mismanage money making $20,000 a year, 40, 60, 80, 100, 300, 500, 5 million. It does not matter.
Correct.
The philosophy and the concepts are true. Like, there are people who make poverty line money who handle their money beautifully.
That's right.
And there are people, like, honestly, we want to talk about our city. There's probably a lot of leaking money in our high income society because we don't manage it well.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's actually really helpful to start there.
Okay.
Because I don't care if you just graduated college, you don't have, and you got your first job and you only have to work 40 hours a week and you're not really connected, you don't have kids, you can be really busy and handle that very poorly, or you can handle it brilliantly. And I know some people who are CEOs who have the most demanding life I've ever seen, are more engaged with their family and have margin.
Like, right.
You get to choose.
Correct.
You get to choose. And I think that's where I want to start, is it doesn't matter what you have and what your responsibility is. You know, these are, you are the CEO of your life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, that's what the pop world would say. Let me say it in a biblical way. God has given you one life to steward for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going, oh, well, so-and-so made me. And like, that does not work. Like, you have a stewardship of time in your life. Let me read this. This is Ephesians 5. Pay careful attention then how you walk, not as unwise, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil.
Oh, that's so good.
So I think of this, and right at the end of Psalm 90, it's the only psalm that Moses wrote. I think it's verse 17. He says, establish the work of our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, establish the work of our hands. And so that when we go about thinking our time and our schedule, we have to see as we have one life to live before God. And depending on your personality, some people are box checkers, naturally organized, and some people really struggle with that. That's not the point.
Mm.
But I do want to say, it's like, understand that your life and your time is a resource God has given you to leverage.
That's right.
And to invest in the most important people, the most important things. And so I think that's just a mind shift. It doesn't matter if you're time rich or time poor, you still have to manage it. And I, a long time ago, I came into the idea of like, one, I need to think in time in multiple ways. And so when Randy, you know me, and so I am not even remotely presenting myself as an expert, but I am a very reflective person.
Absolutely.
And so I am not an expert, but I'm going to look and assess and evaluate. And so I think a lot of people think, I'm just time poor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just broke. I'm just busy and I can't do anything about it. You can make different decisions, but I think the way you can make decisions is to think about time in containers you can deal with them. And here's what I mean.
Good.
Most of us think busy.
Yep.
And here's what I say. You need to have a strategy for your days. You need to have a strategy for your weeks. And you need to have a strategy. I could even say monthly or quarterly and then yearly. Those are so different of time domains. And if you don't get each of them under control, it's going to be harder for you to make decisions.
That's right.
And so what do I mean by day? Here's what I mean. When do you go to bed and when do you get up?
Yes, and amen.
When do you work best? Now, I understand, like, sometimes it's like when my boss tells me to go, that's when I go. Like, we all have different jobs, but you can be a student of when you do things.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to manage your day? I wake up in the morning pretty early. I spend a significant time with the Lord, and then I get to work. I do all my heavy lifting. I don't talk to anyone in the morning because all my heavy work is done in the morning. I don't take meetings, and then I meet with tons of people in the afternoon and do a lot of different stuff in the afternoon. That's probably not your schedule.
Right.
Who cares? I figured that out.
Right.
I've figured it out. I've read a lot of books.
Intentionality.
Do you know how to plan your day? Do you know how to plan your week? My week is unique. I love saying this because I've had to learn to fit my week around the society's week. The right. society's week is work Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday you're off. You get Sunday scaries, you go back to work on Monday.
Yep.
That's the culture's calendar. That's not my week. My week starts on Monday, and I don't cross the finish line until church is over on Sunday.
Yep.
And so my weekend is Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I have to manage that.
Right.
I have to structure that in a different way than most everyone else manages it, because my days off are different than everyone else's days off. When I'm preaching, I have a different week than when I'm not preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. Randy, your weeks are different than it, but you have to understand your weeks. A non-negotiable for me is, we talk about Sabbath, let's just talk about the spiritual principle. It's rest.
Correct.
So unless there is something radically unmovable, I do nothing for Keystone on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Right.
I do nothing. Now, if an emergency happens, of course, but by planning of the week, Friday is my refresh day. When I'm writing sermons, I have to write some on Saturdays, and that's part of my schedule. So right. I have figured it out. Doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you managed it? Have you looked in, and when do I have energy? When do I not? And then yearly, you should start every January knowing when you're going to take some time off. When are you going to take a vacation? Are you not? Are you going to go camping? Are you not? You should start thinking about those things early in the year. When do you need time off? When do you need to do that? Like Carrie and I, like this is an informal part of planning your year. We have a rule that we discovered when we moved to Iowa, and we've since realized. And here's the rule. You cannot make a life-changing decision in the month of February.
Mm.
In Iowa, you can't.
Yeah.
You have no perspective. You're angry at the world. You're cold. There's no sun.
It's gray.
You're gray. Our pets' heads are falling off. Everyone's dying. Like, it just, you have no vitamin D. You have no perspective.
Yep.
But that's a part of the year.
Yeah.
Do you know another part of my year? I get really bad allergies.
Mm.
I have to plan my energy around what happens with ragweed in September and October in this stupid state.
Yeah.
Like, I know my energy levels are going to crash. It's mm-hmm. just going to happen because I'm fighting allergies. Part of this comes from living a lot of years, and I'm trying to be ridiculously practical.
Right.
But Karen and I know when we're going to spend time together. Our family knows generally. Like, sometimes it has to work out. When's camp? But we know we're going to do these things here. Spring break is not really a time where we take off as a family. Like,
right.
We just usually stick around here because that's our family routine.
Right. Like, that's the rhythm.
It's the rhythm. We know that August getting a lot of kids to college is a big thing, and it's going to take a lot of energy. So are you planning your year so that you can replenish in the right moments? And here's the thing. It's so that you can replenish and work hard.
Mm-hmm.
There's seasons where you know you got to go. In ministry, around here, September and October, saddle up.
Yep.
We're riding.
It's summer.
We're going. You come around Christmas to prepare. A lot of people are going to be doing a lot of fun holiday things. We're going to be working.
That's right.
We're going to be working.
Right.
You have to know those things. Don't be surprised by them.
And here's probably the first thing, the first rebellion you're probably hearing in your heart as we say this. That takes work and time to figure out.
It does.
And so here's back to the money metaphor and why it's so important. We teach all the time in our financial equips, money is amoral. Okay. If you don't tell your money where to go,
that's right.
Someone else or something else will tell you. That's why marketing is such a huge thing. If you don't tell your time where to go, someone else or something else will tell you, because there's not a lack of options.
That's right.
And so who do you want controlling that?
Yeah.
Now, yes, the religious answer, and we'll say, well, God. Of course, God's going to direct your time. That's why there's a verse about you plan your ways and God directs the steps.
Yeah.
But if you're not doing your part to do exactly what you just laid out, taking a breath, planning out things, what's in scope, what's out of scope, what works, what doesn't work.
When are you
how
busy?
Do you expect
when can you replenish?
To ever
yeah.
win over and avoid this idolatry?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Karen and I have learned to I'm actually using hopefully super practical things, not to say my things are your things. I'm just trying to say I've figured it out.
Right.
Pause.
Wisdom.
I've not figured it out.
No, wisdom. We're all trying to do our best tricks and trades. Right.
So Karen and I, our kids are in marching band. Okay. And in show choirs. The time commitments for moms and dad, for our kids, are insane. But their weekend competitions all through October and November with marching band, and all through January, February, and early March with show choir.
Mm-hmm.
And it is busy on the weekends. We know that. And the only reason we know that is because the first year we experienced it, we thought we were going to die because we didn't plan on being exhausted in that season.
Right.
So I'm using my examples. Let me give examples that are not me. If you're in the medical world, December's bananas for you because everyone's trying to hit their deductibles.
Right.
Everything's scheduled.
And all the sicknesses are popping.
All the sicknesses are popping. If you're a teacher, I'm guessing August and September are going to be really hard.
Yep.
If you're a CPA, congratulations. Until tax day, you're underwater. Like, but you got to know those things about your life and your rhythms. And you can plan your years because you don't get confused on when you're going to have space and time to do some things.
Another practical way to think about it, if you're a connection group leader, you know rhythms very well.
Yeah.
You know how you feel when you kick off in September. You know how you feel right before December and Christmas.
Yep.
And you certainly know how you feel March, April, May.
Yeah.
It's the same concept.
It is.
But to all the other areas of your life.
All the other areas. So do it at a daily level.
Right.
Do it at a weekly level. And if you start realizing God has sustained, God's given us time and we need to manage it well. I've never in my life seen that time and commitments behave like they're supposed to, right? That's the reason we need margin. We didn't talk about that. You should build margin into your life.
Right.
But manage your days. What's the best way? Manage your weeks. Your month and quarters. I could talk about that too, but let's just go to the years. And so that you can actually get rhythms of your life. So, and here's the rhythms you need to do. You need to replenish and rest, and you need to work.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things are godly, and we just don't want to be overwhelmed by them.
I want to go back to your example because I thought it's helpful too. You talked about how you learned to manage with show choirs and marching bands. And I want to take it one step back too, because at some point you determined that was an important part of your family's life.
Yep.
But here's the key. You intentionally did that.
Yeah.
What I see people do so often is unintentionally or by chance or by lack of planning, kind of fall into these things and then try to manage their way out. And that's a losing proposition. What is important to you, what is important to your context, what's important for your family is 100% in your control.
Yeah. And listen, be a stinking adult and say no. And that's to you going to the trip. That's a you to, if I hang out with you on Saturday night, I love you. I'm leaving by 9.
Correct.
I got to preach on Sunday morning.
By 9, you're a young man.
Yeah. So
us old men have to even.
But that's not, if you know who I am by a person,
right.
I want to play on Saturday night. But I have to say no because so a lot of people will write a check with their commitments and, oh, we'll do it, that their time cannot cash.
Mm.
And so you're saying yes to so many things, and it's hard to say no. Like, you know how hard it is for me to say, I'm preaching to myself right now.
Yeah.
But we write checks in these commitments, and our time can't cash them. Or certainly our soul can't cash them.
Here's a ministry life hack that I'll disclose here. You know the response, because we both ask people to do lots of things lots of times for lots of context.
Yeah.
You know the response I respect the most? No, Randy, because I can't make that a priority right now.
Yeah.
That's an honest answer.
Yep.
And you know what my comeback to that is?
Good.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's other than I just don't have time. If you honestly tell me I cannot make that a priority. Okay.
Yeah.
Who am I to do elsewhere? That means you're looking at it. You're considering it.
Yeah.
I can't ask any more than that.
Yeah.
And I think about my life and how a few times I've actually took a step back and am I willing to make that a priority? Yes or no. And if I'm willing to say no, then stand up and say that.
Yeah, it is true. Man, busyness, Randy, you know it. We could talk for the next 6 months over busyness.
Mm.
We're not going to solve it, but it is something that people really carry in their souls. And there's some warning signs, but there's also some stewardship and some responsibilities we can step into that hopefully we're never going to get it right, but we can fight the good fight.
That's why we have connection groups. That's why spiritual family is so important to us. None of these are done in isolation.
Yeah.
Make sure you come together and use all those for that.
Yeah. So,
great thoughts today. Appreciate the tips.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening and being part of our conversation today. If you'd like to know more about Keystone in general, hear sermons, or listen to more conversations, please visit KeystoneLife.com. Until next time, keep those conversations going.